This is Dr. Max D. Younts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us at the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to be able to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. Again, each week we want to thank you for those that have taken time to write. We appreciate that very much. Many fine letters, and we just appreciate getting those and hearing from you. This morning we're going to continue on the Roman Catholic Church, who says that they have priests. And they put these men out and say they are priests. And we're going to check the Bible and see if the Roman Catholic Church is telling the truth or if they are lying to the people and saying, we have men out here that are pastoring the churches, they are priests. Well, we're going to look in the Bible and see who's telling the truth. Is the Roman Catholic Church telling the truth or is God telling the truth? And if God's telling the truth, then we're going to have to conclude the Roman Catholic Church is telling us another lie from their organization. So before we do that, in some of the letters we get, we've had people ask, will you again give us your email? Because on our email and on our archives, which we have had questions for the past 35 years, we've tried to put many of those on the archives there that many people have asked and have a tremendous response from it. In fact, it's about all we can do to keep up with the answering the things that come in concerning that. But our email and our website is www.heritagebbc.com, and you can click on there, and maybe it'll be a question that you've had on the Bible that someone else has asked and may have the answer. If you have a question on the Bible, you're sure willing to email us. We'd be glad to hear from you. And if we don't already have it on there, then if we have time to do it as time goes on, we will use that question on our website. Also, the latest now, it's going to be a while before we use some more questions, but we have all kind of questions on there that people have asked, and have been very good questions. But now, if you follow along, we have on the website, every 2 weeks, we put on a continuation on refuting this young earth philosophy. And this is a giant thing that has been started back here a few years ago. And everybody jumps on the bandwagon now, and they're a young earth believer. And really, they don't know what they're talking about. And Genesis chapter 1 will disprove that emphatically. So you might be interested in that. And also, I'm going to give this ahead of time here, and then we won't have to bother taking time at the end of the broadcast. But our church service begins on Sunday morning from 10 o'clock until 11. We'd love to have you come join with us. And our church evening service is from 6 o'clock until 7. We have a wonderful youth group every Thursday night from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. So we would love to have you come bring your youth, your teenagers, to our youth group, and they'll have a wonderful time. And they'll have some wonderful messages they hear from our youth leader, David Thomas, does a wonderful job. And we'd appreciate having you if you'd like to have your teenager in that. We'd like to continue now this morning here on the priesthood. Now, we've examined things prior to that purgatory, the Roman Catholic Church says there is not. To be a priest, I want to go to that now. And under the old Levitical system, to be a priest, you had to be married, and that's found in Leviticus chapter 21 and verses 13 to 15. And also that if you forbid, and this would fall right back on the Pope, Mr. Pope, if you forbid your priest to be married, you are following a demon-inspired philosophy, sir, because the Bible says this is a philosophy of demons, and you, as the Pope of the Church, should really know better than that. If you know anything about your Bible at all, you would have all of your priests to be married. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Word of God says this, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having your conscience seared with a hard iron, that means it's branded in you, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from eating meats, which God's created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. So, Mr. Pope, if you know anything about the Bible, why are you telling your priest not to be married? And God says they are to be married. You're forbidding them to be married, and you're going exactly against the Bible. So you as the leader, I'm not going to follow you, sir, because you don't know what you're talking about, and I'm not going to disobey the Word of God just because of you. And I think you need to study your Bible a little bit. The next thing, as we go on, we find out that when the priest goes in and serves the Lord's Supper, as they did in the tabernacle there, when they took and had their services in that, then it comes on down to the church and so forth, you are to take absolutely no alcohol into the church. Remember, this alcohol that you take in, and this wine, this alcoholic wine, you're saying represents the perfect, sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're using the devil's brew alcohol to do that, sir, that is blasphemy. And you'll find out in the book of Matthew, if you go over there in chapter 26 and verse 29, it says, the fruit of the vine. And if you've ever studied your Bible at all, you know the fruit of the vine, sir, is pure grape juice, not fermented wine. And also, Mark says the same thing, and so does Dr. Luke, that it is to be the fruit of the vine. So why you men take liquor into the church, I have no idea, but the Bible doesn't really mean anything to you and your organization. You're just a religious organization that tries to captivate as many people as you possibly can and present yourself as God-fearing people and God-fearing. There really could not be anything further from the truth, because if you were, you would obey the Word of God and you would never take liquor into the church. Let's go on. Another thing. While we're here, we want to go on here before we get sidetracked anymore and recapitulate over things we've already covered. The fact of the priesthood here being the priest, you had to be a Levite. And that's why the priesthood was given to Aaron and his sons, and the Levites there was to carry on the priesthood. That is the priesthood that God ordained for the nation of Israel. It was not for the Gentiles. So if you're going to be a priest and present yourself and your men out here as priests, then are they a Jew? Are they a Levite? And, well, of course they're not. And if there shows right there that they are false priests, they're a priesthood made up by you, Mr. Roman Catholic Church, but God knows nothing of the priesthood. It is not sanctioned to God, and you'll not find it. Now, when we come, the Old Testament priests were to offer the sacrifices. And if you follow the priesthood, for example, if you go to Exodus chapter 28 and 29, you'll find out there were certain garments that the priest had to wear. He had to wear a breastplate. It had 12 stones, one stone for each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And it gives in chapter 28 and 29. It'd be very interesting for some of you Catholics to read that. And but no priest dressed today like that whatsoever, so they're not following any kind of priesthood of the Bible. Now, they just put them out, and you're supposed to think these are terrific, God-fearing men of God. Well, there couldn't be anything further from the truth. We come on here and find out, as we're going to see, that was under the law. Now, when Jesus Christ came, and he was crucified, and he was buried, and he rose again, that is the gospel. You find out in the book of Romans there, or in 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, in chapter 15, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died, and that he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. That's the only thing that saves you from going to hell and spending eternity with, Satan himself and the demons that rebelled against God, and being in the lake of fire, total darkness for all time and eternity, is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Christ rose from the dead, we're going to find out here as we look in our Bible that there are no more Old Testament priests, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest, and he will not transfer the priesthood of him, of Christ, to any earthly person or religious organization. He will not do that. So let's go on our Bibles over here now, and let's notice here in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 17, where we're just getting here about who the high priest is. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him, that's Christ, to be made like unto his brethren, that is, he took on human flesh, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, no matter what the Roman Catholic Church proposes, and it is through the Mass, and it is through the Eucharist, and so forth like that, all of that amounts to absolutely nothing. It is Jesus Christ who loved us, who died, who was buried, and rose again to make reconciliation, to reconcile us unto God, and no human being has any part in that whatsoever. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, the Word of God tells us there is one God, one mediator between God and man, and it is not the Pope or the priest. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what God says. Don't be putting your hopes in these men in this religious organization or any other religious organization as far as that goes. One person can take you to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. He said in John 14:6, I am the way. This is Christ speaking himself when he was here upon the earth. I am the way, the truth, the life. And no man comes to the Father, that is God, except by me. Not water baptism, not your pope, not your priest, or any of this other things that's made up in a religious organization that absolutely teach you to go opposite of what the Bible teaches. Now let's go on, and let's get some other things. Go with me here to Hebrews, and we're going to be in Hebrews here because this brings it out, I think, the most verses here concerning it. In Hebrews chapter 4, I'd like for you to notice here in verse 14 and 15. Notice who our high priest is. It's not your Roman Catholic Church. It is not the Mother Church. You never find that in the Bible. Anywhere do you ever find, we are the Mother Church. That's another false philosophy that's been brainwashed into some of you Roman Catholics, and you actually believe this. But you don't find it in the Bible. You couldn't find it if you tried. In verse 14 says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And that's exactly what we're doing here. This is our profession, is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to heaven, you have to go through Christ. You have to accept Christ as the one who died on the cross, paid for your sins, and offers you eternal life absolutely free. As we're going on, we're going to see what the Roman Catholic Church says. If you believe that going to heaven is by faith alone, you are anathema. That means you're accursed. So the Roman Catholic Church telling you that you have to have faith and works to go to heaven, we're going to see in our coming messages, that is a lie out of hell, and Satan loves it. You will never go to heaven by trying to offer God your good works and your good works outweighing your bad works. Satan loves you to do that because you'll split hell wide open. And if you could go to heaven on good works, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to come and die on the cross, would he? But only religion manufactures those kind of things that are contrary to the Word of God. Now, let's go on here to verse 15. For we have not a high priest. Here we have a high priest again. Not the Roman Catholic Church. Not the priest that they put out into their churches and that and say, here, I'm Mr. Priest. No, you're not. You're not a priest at all. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And then God says, since he's our high priest, notice what he says in verse 16. You get a little sick of people saying, and I've had Catholics tell me, I'm a little sick of going to the priest. You know, this guy goes when they have a wedding or something, he's the first to the bar. He's the first to get the liquor. And I'm going to him to ask my sins, ask him to forgive my sins. What a joke. And notice what God says now. So some of you, maybe you're involved in the Roman Catholic religion. Maybe you'd like to be involved with Jesus Christ and realize Christ is the only way to go to heaven. Not your church, not your priest, not your pope or anything else. I remember going to a funeral and the priest was saying, Pope John Paul II said this and so forth. And I thought, who in the world cares what Pope John Paul said? You know, he's not God. He's just a man. He's a sinner. And he proved it because he died. The wages of sin is death. And these priests die. They're sinners. And the only way they go to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ, accepting Christ as the payment for their sin. That's the gospel, how that Christ died and he was buried and he rose again. But notice in verse 16 what he says to every one of you Roman Catholics or Baptists or Lutheran or Presbyterian or whoever you are. He says this. In verse 15, we have a high priest. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points was tested like we are, yet without sin. Then we find out here, verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Then in verse 16, since he's the high priest, he's the intercessor between man and God, not your church, not your priest, not your pope, he can't do a thing for you. Notice in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's to God in heaven. That's to Christ. The throne of grace is in heaven. The throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If I've got a problem, and every preacher who loves the Lord Jesus Christ for dying on the cross and paying for their sins, every preacher, whatever a person in their congregation comes to them, never would that preacher ever, ever get up and say, I can forgive your sins. But they would point the person who is having the problem to the one who can solve their problem, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ invites us here, come boldly before the throne of grace. He doesn't say come boldly before the Roman Catholic Church. He doesn't say come boldly before the Baptist Church, or boldly before the Lutheran preacher and his church, and Martin Luther, a man that's been dead for 500 years, I'm just using round fingers figures now, or that. No man can do a thing for you except point you to the one who can help you in every problem that you have. He's the one who died on the cross and paid for your sins. That's Jesus Christ. Religion always wants to take the glory unto themselves and promote themselves as some great thing, that they can do some miracle or they can do something to get you closer to God, when they can do absolutely nothing. They're a sinner and they die. And if that pastor, pope, or priest, or minister, whoever they might be, loves the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved and are on the way to heaven themselves, they would surely tell you how to go to heaven, who can solve your problems, who can take care of whatever situation that you're in, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you've committed sins and you want to confess them, then 1 John chapter 1 says, we're told that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he, that's Christ, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, if we quit that sinning, which we should when we confess it to Christ, then if we walk in the light, that's, we're not walking in the sin that we confess to Christ, and Christ forgave our sins. It wasn't a priest that forgave your sins. It wasn't a Lutheran preacher that forgave your sins. It was Jesus Christ. And it amazes me how these men and these organizations pervert the Bible and take away the glory of Christ, take away the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and put themselves in the stead of Christ, and you come unto me, I'm the big daddy, I'll forgive your sins, you can't even forgive your own. And then not point people to Jesus Christ as the one who forgives sins, the one who helps us, the one who is there to provide for us, the one who is there to give us comfort, and we're going to come unto a man? No, I don't believe so. Let us come boldly, therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may receive, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. So it is Jesus Christ, our high priest, and he listed twice, once in verse 14 and once in verse 15. There are no earthly priests today. So, Mr. Roman Catholic Church, when you throw your men out here into the face of people and you want them to come and, oh, good morning, Father, and all that sort of thing, sir, you're lying to the people. Matthew chapter 23, verse 9 says, call no man Father, and you soak in that. You love that. Well, I just heard the recent Pope and he said now he's going to unite. He didn't say he's going to unite. He wants to try to unite all religions. That's a philosophy of the Antichrist. That's what Christ prophesied in the book of Revelation. All religions coming together. Why do I want to unite with you when you're telling me, Mr. Roman Catholic Church, to call you Father? Christ says not to do it. You want me to worship Mary, and nowhere in the world does Mary ever want you to worship her. You're telling me one lie after another. And you want me to unite with you? I don't want anything to do with you, sir. Because it's blasphemy of what your damnable doctrines that you're putting out is. And you've led many people right straight into hell by Mary worship and priests forgiving them sins and so forth. And yet we have covered previously almost 50% of them are homos and many pedophiles. And you want me to come to forgive their sin, or me to come to them to forgive their sins? They can't even forgive their own. Filled full of sin. I'd like for you to go on now. Let's go over here to chapter 7 in the book of Hebrews here. Because if you're going to put a priest out here and say he's a priest and you want me to come to him, I'd like for you to notice something that's very interesting. Because we're going to find out that Christ said specifically, I am the high priest. And because the Old Testament priest died, there was another priest that replaced him. It would be like the Pope died. Well, another Pope replaces him. Then he changes his name. I don't know why they don't use their own name. You know, when preachers and God calls them into the ministry, I don't see them taking on another name. I don't know why they do that. Tell me what your name is, sir, so I can know who you are. And instead of throwing some other name on you, that's what Hollywood does with their actors out there. You know, a lot of these people that are born, they don't like the name, so they put on a Hollywood name. Well, so much for that. That doesn't really amount to too much other than I'd like to know who I'm talking to or who I'm seeing speaking, and then you put another name on the man. I don't know why you do that, really. I don't see any sense in it, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is what you're telling me to believe, Mr. Roman Catholic Church. Now, I'd like for you to go in your Bible to chapter 7 in the book of Hebrews, if you will, and we'll begin up here. And notice here in verse 23 of the 7th chapter, speaking about the priests now, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. One pope dies, you put another pope in. The one pope can't continue forever because he's not Jesus Christ. So we have to put another pope in when he dies, and the same way with the priest. The priests die. Why do they die? I think people forget this because they're a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'd like for you to notice here as we go on down. In verse 23 again, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to or allowed to continue by reason of death. But this man... Excuse me. This is Christ. But this man Christ, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now the word unchangeable in the Greek is the Greek word aperibatos. And it's the only time it's used in the whole Greek New Testament. And it literally means untransferable. Unchangeable is all right if you understand the sense of which is speaking. It cannot be changed to another priest. Why? Because Christ never dies. He ever liveth, you see. And we come on down and begin to find that. So when Christ came to this earth and he died on the cross and he was buried and he rose again, and he did that to pay for your sins and mine. Religion always comes in and wants to put somebody out there to say, oh, come to me, I'll forgive your sins. I'm the mediator between God and man. Oh, I'll help you. No, if you're saved, sir, and you are so thankful to God that you have eternal life and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you wouldn't even think of saying, I can forgive your sins. Only a lost man, in my opinion, could ever get up and have the audacity to say, I can forgive your sins, when, sir, you are a sinner yourself, and you're going to die, and that's going to be proof that you are a sinner. And evidently, you're not a saved sinner. Because if you was a saved sinner, you would realize how gracious and how thankful you are that God loved you as a sinner, and he came to this earth, he took on human flesh, he died on the cross, and he paid for your sins, and you're telling me you can forgive my sins? Sir, that's blasphemy. And I don't believe a saved man can do that. Unless you're anti-God, pretending to be religious, as many false teachers are, pretending to love God so much and draw all of the glory unto themselves instead of giving it to the only one that can take you to heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read that again in verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, or another word, synonym, would be a untransferable priesthood. So, Mr. Roman Catholic priest, God has never given you the priesthood of Jesus Christ since he was on the earth here over 2,000 years ago. You are not a priest. He's never given you the priesthood, and you manufactured this out of your own religious system. And truthfully, it's a godless system, pretending to be a God system, but it's not a God system. Mary is your God. Your priest are your God. As I've heard many, many people say, you know what? The priest is our God. The Pope is your God. He really is. Because if you believe what this man says, contrary to the Bible, then the God of the Bible is not your God. The Pope is. The priests are. And you believe anything they say because you won't go to the Bible. You have a false peace of being in a religious organization that teaches contrary to the Bible. So the next time you go to church, ask your priest why that he wants to be called Father, and put a little slip of paper in his hand and say, "Sir, explain this to me." In Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, Jesus Christ said, "I'm not to call you Father anytime, any place, anywhere. Why do you want to be called Father? Why don't you believe the Bible? Why don't you tell the people, quit calling me Father? I am not a father. I'm a sinner saved by grace. If you are saved, then tell me about Jesus Christ." I thank God, and I went through this when I was a young boy. I thank God so much that a preacher had the backbone to come down to my house and visit me and tell me, "Max Shouts, are you a sinner?" I said, "Oh, am I a sinner? Whew, I feel like Paul, I'm the chief of sinners." He said, "You're a candidate for heaven." The hardest thing to get is self-righteous people to say and admit that they are a sinner, because they always project themselves to be holier than thou, including the clergy. And that makes me sick, truthfully. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you're lost on your way to hell. You only have one way of escape, and that is through Jesus Christ. Our whole time stated it from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is AD, that's Latin for Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And if you're putting your trust in a religious organization, or these priests, or any organization or denomination, or their baptism, or their infant baptism, you will never, never, never go to heaven, because you've been totally deceived. Eternal life is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you, gave his life for you, and if you'll trust him completely and nothing else, you'll be passed from death unto life. Thank you for joining with us. It's been so good to have you aboard. And as we say each week, because the next event's the great event, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for his church and will rapture at home. People will disappear from this earth like you've never seen before. It's never happened, you see. So keep looking up and ever praying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus."